Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiprah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered to his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't invite me and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, 'Lord, when do we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Father, thank you once again for the power, the wisdom, the counsel, and the guidance of your word. Thank you, Lord, for how that your word wonderfully saves us, sets us on fire, and empowers us to be your ambassadors and your kingdom warriors stepping out onto the battlefield of life. And Lord, you call us to live a life of love, a life where we sacrificially give of ourselves, a life of ministry, a life of reaching out and seeing a world that's been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead, and a life through which you reach through us and touch and show the world what your love really does look like. Empower us more and more, Father, individually and collectively as the church, to be your hands and feet in the world as you've called us to be. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day of ministry. Help us to be mindful that you've called every believer in the world into full-time ministry. Our job is to listen to you and do what you tell us moment by moment. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, your family, and your work in the world. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for making us in your image. Father, thank you so much for loving us, even when we rebelled against you, even when we do rebel against you, even whenever we're broken and fall away, Father, you still love us. Thank you so much, Father, for calling us to be more like you, more like your son. Thank you so much that you can call us into adoption to be called your sons. Father, thank you so much that you have now given us the duty of loving others as we are all made in your image. Thank you so much, Father, that we can love you in that way. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Before we introduce our phone guest, I want to share from an article that we've shared. And as usual, we're inviting you to call and get a copy of the article as a discipleship tool for your individual walk with the Lord, but also as a tool to help disciple your family and a tool to share, to forward and share with others as well, to encourage us to be about the work the Lord has called us as the church to do. The article is entitled, Post-Row, What Does a Pro-Life Church Look Like? Again, the title, Post-Row, What Does a Pro-Life Church Look Like? In the aftermath of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, what should a pro-life church look like? What are some of the priorities, the attributes and perspectives of a local church which seeks to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our nation and in our world today as it addresses the issues of life? This question is a very important one. And a very important companion question is this: am I really seeking to honor the Lord in doing what he would have me to do as an individual disciple of Christ to help stand for life? Well, an individual church family and each individual within it should prayerfully consider and possibly seek to live out several important characteristics. And of course, it's not any one person's job to tell any other believer what to do per se, but we're all called to listen to the Lord for ourselves. A pro-life church needs to be a praying church. It's a church that seeks faithfully to in prayer as a lifestyle, and through prayer they help to usher in the presence of God. They share the heart and the mind of God with the culture. It can help a church, it can help a church family and an individual believer to both ask and receive the answer to another important question. The question the Apostle Paul made immediately after he met Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, is a wise prayer for all of us to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? The church should seek God's heart by asking the same question. It knows prayer is crucial. A church that is involved in this kind of prayer and spiritual warfare will be working with God's power to help to change the minds of women even after they may have entered an abortion clinic. This leads to women deciding, I can't do this, and leaving. Again, many are surprised at how many people, because God's people were praying, how many women went into an abortion clinic but changed her mind before she left because somebody somewhere was praying. A pro-life church is wise to be a humble church, yet the question needs to be asked, what is humility? And what does it mean to be humble? Real biblical humility is complete submission to the word and the will of God. It's a church that will pray and ask God about placing a local pregnancy center and or other pro-life ministries into its monthly budget and into its missions budget. They will educate themselves on the issues related to life and minister to those who are affected by the realities surrounding life and the life issue. It's a church that will prayerfully consider encouraging members to volunteer at local pregnancy centers and other pro-life ministries. It's a church that would prayerfully consider supporting a baby clothes closet with diapers, clothes, wipes, and other needed items. It's a church that would prayerfully consider becoming a house of refuge or similar ministry. They will help moms who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time. They'll come alongside a mother who feels alone and walk with her through her term of pregnancy and beyond. They'll prayerfully become like a family with the love and support a mother may not have with her own family in real life. It's a church that will learn about important pro-life outreach ministries that are doing vital work to end legalized abortion in different ways. It will sacrificially and faithfully support such ministries with their prayers and their finances. It's a church that's wise and informed enough to know and understand that it should in no way rest until abortion is once again illegal in every state in our nation. Post Roe, as before and always, the church should seek to faithfully follow God and His ways. Praise God for the reality that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. That was a great blessing from the hand of God. The reality is that Roe v. Wade should have never happened in the first place. It legalized the murder of babies in their mothers' wombs. Now that it has been overturned, it's important that we understand that our work is far from over. It's, in fact, just beginning in many ways. Let us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, faithfully roll up our sleeves. Let us have a renewed commitment to help save the lives of women and babies. Let's get to work. Again, the title of the article, Post Roe, What Does a Pro-Life Church Look Like? If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We are honored to have with us as our phone guests once again, Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Geralds. Both of them are a part of a great ministry that touches our nation called Love Life, and they're involved with one particular outreach in particular. They're involved in quite a few different things, but one that we'll be touching on today is called the House of Refuge for local churches. Shailene and Jennifer, how are you all today?
Good. Doing well. Thank you for having us on today.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Honored to have you back once again. I'm going to ask if you'll each, if Shailene and then Jennifer, each further introduce yourselves so our listeners will know a little bit more about you. And of course, you all, am I correct, you all live in the Birmingham, Alabama community, is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
All right. If you'll further introduce yourselves and tell them about yourselves and then tell them a little bit more about Love Life as well.
Okay, my name is Shailene Burlidge, and I am one of the city directors here for Alabama for Love Life. Love Life is national. Actually, we are international. We're in five or six other countries as well as America, and because abortion happens in the world. And so I began with Love Life in 2020. And I am post-abortive myself, so the Lord has used my suffering and has now used it as He has healed me as calling to help others realize that they don't want to go down the same path that I went down. And so that's a little bit about me.
And my name's Jennifer Geralds. I grew up here in the Birmingham area. And I'm a mom, a wife. I have four daughters, and it was through conversation with them that God eventually led me to this ministry. I have been a believer for 48 years now, a long time, and been in the church and have been pro-life my whole life. But in recent years, the Lord has laid on my heart the church and what we need to be doing as members of the body of Christ to help those who are facing unplanned pregnancy beyond just saying that we are pro-life, beyond just advocating for life. We need to provide a support network for these moms. And He made it pretty clear that that's what He wanted me to do. And He put Shailene and I together in a unique way. And we have been serving together with Love Life since 2020 when we attended their very first boot camp up in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they began training missionaries like us to go, you know, throughout the United States, mobilizing the church to create a culture of love and life that will bring about the end of abortion and the orphan crisis in our cities and states. So that's what we've been doing, and we have watched God do some really amazing things, and we're excited to share that with you today.
All right. Well, thank you, Shailene and Jennifer, for joining us today on the broadcast, and we'll pick up here on the other side. Our phone guests are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Geralds of the ministry, the National Pro-Life Ministry, Love Life. We'll be right back.
lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing. That he is a light shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light, he is a light for all the world to see.
Music of Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are we're privileged to have with us once again Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells, both of the National Pro-Life Ministry Love Life, and their specific kind of their key mission field, of course, is the state of Alabama. And so we're grateful to have them with us. Shailene and Jennifer, I'm going to ask if we'll start off this segment. Would each of you pray for our listeners to really receive what the Lord wants to receive in the way of encouragement and direction through the broadcast today?
Yes, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. We are just so thankful for the opportunity to speak, Father, on what is grieving your heart. And we know that taking the lives of the unborn grieves your heart. And so, Father, as the listeners are hearing, let them have opened their ears, Father, and the eyes to their heart to hear what you want them to hear, Father. Let them hear the tragic truth of abortion, and then let them hear how the church can rise up and be the answer to end abortion, Father. Let them hear your love and healing for those who have chosen abortion, that you love each one of us, Father. And so let them hear with love what you would like them to hear in all of this. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Father, I agree. I just thank you for this opportunity to gather together with other believers and talk about matters that are so near and dear to your heart. You are the author of life. You are the one who created us. We live and move and have our being in you. And apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we know how much you love your people and that you are the one who knits us together in the womb. You have ordained purpose and a plan for every single person. There are no accidents. And Lord, I just thank you that you are building a church, the body of Christ, for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil and bringing light and hope to the world. And Father, in so many ways in this area of abortion, I feel like we as your people have just literally been asleep. Even as we say that we are for life, Lord, our actions would say otherwise, or even our inaction and our prayerlessness, Father. And so we repent of that. We repent of not caring about the things that you care about. But Father, we do see that changing. And even as like somebody waking up, Father, even as you did in my own life, I pray that you would wake up the body of Christ, wake up each member to what you are calling us to do, to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to become the support, become the solution to those who are so troubled, who don't know what to do in their panic and in their moment of need. Lord, let your people step into that place to care for those who need you in their hour of need. Father, I just pray that as people are listening to us talk about the work that you're doing and talk about the needs that are out there, that they would not turn a deaf ear, that they would not move on to the next thing and forget, but your spirit would impress it deeply on their hearts again and again, and that you would reveal to them, even as you have revealed to Shailene and I, what you would have them to do to step in and be a support for life. And we just ask for supernatural appointments to be made for your spirit to touch hearts through this broadcast. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Shailene and Jennifer, I want to share a couple things, and I want to ask you just to really jump around it and really try to address why the ministry of Love Life, as it uses the ministry of the House of Refuge, why it's so important. But I think of this, like, speaking from my own perspective, I've had the privilege of being in the ministry just about 50 years in terms of the number of years pastoring. And, you know, started preaching when I was 2. No, I'm kidding. Well, maybe yes and no. But the reality is this. With the life issue, the church is so strategic. It is so strategic across the board. And there's so much the church can do if the church will do it. So I want to ask if you all will just really jump off and tell why, explain what the House of Refuge ministry concept is and why it can be so helpful as the church gets involved with carrying it out.
The whole vision behind House of Refuge is to unite and mobilize God's people, the church, to shift the culture inside of the church to one of love and life so that it becomes an environment that is welcoming and helpful for those who find themselves facing an unplanned pregnancy. If the pastor will set the stage in the church by being vocal from the pulpit about how they will respond in that situation, letting everybody know that this is a church that's going to come alongside you and help you and not judge you and condemn you. If the pastor is willing to do that and they have church members who are ready to just jump in there and be that warm body, that hug, that friend that this young woman or family needs and walk with them through that time, it will be a game changer in our churches. It's going to shift the narrative of shame and condemnation that has so often characterized the church and replace it with a love and life that is what will bring an end to an abortion. That's what we believe.
Okay. So if a listener's listening, they're thinking, they may be thinking this question: what in the world is a House of Refuge? Can you tell them what a House of Refuge is as a local church?
Well, a House of Refuge is a safe place. It starts with, like Jennifer said, the pastor opening up the conversation. It also starts with knowing statistics. So I would like to give a little the problem. First, we have to know the problem before we can solve the problem, right?
Okay.
So the problem is abortions are happening in our church. Roe v. Wade being overturned absolutely was a blessing. Like you said, Pastor Joseph, it should have never happened in the first place. However, it did, and it has now been overturned. So you would think that abortions would have dropped, but that is not the case. Abortion is on the rise. We were saying prior to Roe being overturned that 1 in 4 women were having abortions in their lifetime. The number has gone up to 1 in 3 women are having abortions in their lifetime. A lot of people will probably not be aware of the abortion pill. An abortion pill is a pill that can be delivered directly to your door, and it's a two-step process. And now, you know, clinics are closing across the nation. The abortion clinics are closing because the abortion pill is on the rise. The abortion pill that can be delivered to your door, which now makes the abortion clinic at your home in your bathroom. And so clinics are able to close. That accounts for over 60% of all abortions now, abortion pills being delivered to your door. I do want to point out a very important fact. If you're hearing this or you know someone that has taken the first set of abortion pills, within 72 hours, you can call Abortion Pill Reversal, a hotline, and they will prescribe you the abortion pill reversal, and your baby will be saved. we've got many, many stories of that. So there is abortion pill reversal. But that's what's happening. So abortion is on the rise. Well, Pastor Joseph, up to 40% of women who have an abortion were attending church at the time. So we do need the pastor to talk about it from the pulpit, which will open up the door for the congregation, the people, to talk about this subject. I believe abortion has been around for so long that people have become desensitized to it. And so there's the problem.
And so when we say House of Refuge, sometimes people are thinking literally this must be some brick and mortar building somewhere that we send women to. And that is not what a House of Refuge is. A House of Refuge is any church. It is any already existing church who wants to become a welcoming space for families in need facing unplanned pregnancy or suffering trauma from past abortion. So no matter what church family you belong to, your church can become a House of Refuge if the pastor is willing to get on board with it. And Love Life is, our whole purpose is to help equip churches to become that. We provide free training for the church members to be able to form life teams. We provide training for a representative who acts as the liaison between the church and Love Life. We train for mentors so that women and men know exactly how to minister to the moms and dads who are coming into their church for help. And we continue to walk alongside those mentors for ongoing support as they are continuing their relationships with these people. I mean, we have seen moms and dads come to Christ through this process of finding out that they are facing an unplanned pregnancy, being received into a House of Refuge church where there was a life team ready to receive them, and through being ministered to, they experience the love of Christ, and they come into not only faith in Jesus, but they come into a faith family where they can continue on being discipled for life. And that's really the vision behind what we're doing as we create a network of House of Refuge churches. Here in Alabama, we have approximately 30 House of Refuge churches in 11 different counties, and we are constantly working to increase that number. Our desire is to have churches all over the whole state so that no matter where a young girl is from, there will be a church near her who is already trained and equipped, ready to receive her so that she can get grafted into a church family. That's what we're working for. Does that help explain it a little bit better?
It does. It does. So if someone is listening and they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm sort of grasping what they're talking about, what is their website, or is there a link there where they can go and get a further understanding and explanation, and also can find out how they can pursue helping their church to become a House of Refuge?
Yes, our national website is lovelife.org. You can email Jennifer and I together at alabama@lovelife.org, and we'll both get the email and respond if you're local. But we do have a national website, and that is lovelife.org, and you can peruse that, and it can show you how to become a Love Life church. You fill out a little form, and then you'll be connected with that director wherever you are. If you're here in California or wherever you hear this broadcast, we'll connect you with the closest director of Love Life.
Okay. Now, let me ask this. Would it be correct to say then that a House of Refuge church is a church that's gone through a set of training, and they've become a local church that has become a welcoming family to a mom who's pregnant at a tough time? Would that be an accurate statement?
Yes. There really are only two requirements for any church to become a House of Refuge church, and that is that the pastor agrees to read a statement from the pulpit, which I believe that you will read here in just a minute, Pastor Joseph. But okay. It's a statement that clears the air in the congregation and lets everybody know what their response will be as a church. So the pastor agrees to read a house refuge statement at least twice a year. And the second requirement is that they provide us with a representative, which is simply somebody who's willing to be the main point person at the church to field the phone calls when women are referred to them from the pregnancy center, or whether it just comes, you know, somebody surfaces in their congregation who needs help, that will be the point person, the go-to person, and who kind of heads up the life team. So those are the only two requirements, that the pastor reads the statement from the pulpit twice a year, and that they provide us with a representative that we will train. And we'll work with them to help connect them with other church members who could fill out the life team. But that's essentially it. It's not hard. It's not rocket science at all. It is just a pastor who's willing and a church member who will be the point person.
I would like to also touch on, you know, we're talking about men and women facing unplanned pregnancy, but I'd like to talk to the men and women who have experienced abortion in their lifetime. Abortion, as you read, is not the unforgivable sin, and we provide healing. We have a part of our ministry that's called Restored Life, which is abortion recovery. I went through abortion recovery in 2016.
Shailene, we're coming up on a break, and we can pick up there on the other side there. Our phone guests today are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of Love Life, and we're talking about the ministry of the House of Refuge, an outreach any local church can get involved with. We'll be right back. Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of the great national pro-life ministry, Love Life, and we're talking today about the House of Refuge. And Shailene and Jennifer, I was going to jump right in and go ahead and share the statement, and then we'll get right back to what you were starting to share, Shailene, if that'll be all right. All right. Our church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church or people you know that need a place of refuge. Here's what we believe. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment. This child is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a sinful decision that led to this pregnancy, possibly, or you may have even been sinned against. But we want you to know that you are loved, and we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child you carry is made in the image of God and is innately valuable and loved by God. You need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. This church family will not tolerate gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge, and we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in the Word. Here's what we will do. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this child. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you to resources inside and outside of our church, a local pregnancy care center. We will also hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you've ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. If you've never gone through a post-abortion Bible study, we'll be happy to connect you to one that you can walk in complete healing and freedom in. End of the statement then. Okay, so Shailene and Jennifer, anything for you wish to share about that statement?
Well, yes. So the end, for those that have suffered the trauma of a past abortion, I do want you to hear what Pastor Joseph said. It is not the unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. We have Restored Life, which is a part of our ministry, a life team that is for abortion recovery. Also here in Alabama, there is Abortion Recovery Alabama that they hold in-class, in-person Bible studies and an online Bible study by Zoom if you're not in the area. There's 10 to 14 classes around the state of Alabama where they do a Bible study to in God's Word to provide healing. And once we are healed of this past trauma that we have been through, I have been through that, God is able to use us. And so I implore you that if you've had an abortion in your lifetime, male or female, there's abortion recovery for women, abortion recovery for men, and there's abortion recovery for friends and family members of someone else that's had an abortion. My mother went through abortion recovery because she lost grandchildren through my choices of abortion. So I just want to leave you with that.
Okay. All right. Jennifer, anything you wanted to add as well?
Yes, just for the listener who heard that refuge statement being read, imagine your own pastor reading that to your congregation and the impact that it could have on the members in your church. We have seen God use that statement to open up so much conversation, so much needed conversation in churches about issues that have happened in the past, like what Shailene is talking about. People who have sat in silence and shame for so many years are finally freed to go up to their pastor and say, hey, I need help. I'm one of those who suffered abortion. It may have been 40, 50 years ago, and they still need that healing. But then we have also had people come up to the pastor after that statement was read and say, hey, my cousin or my sister or my daughter are pregnant and need help right now. You know, can we help them? So it is just a very simple way to open up this very needed conversation in our churches to get that support network going. And so it really does begin with the pastor. And so if you're listening to this and would like for your church to become a house of refuge, all
that really needs to happen is that we need to be able to get in touch with your pastor. And you can be a part of that process by just reaching out to us at alabama@lovelife.org. And we'd be happy to walk you through those steps.
Okay. Okay. So I guess one could say then that instead of a young woman who may be expecting a baby at a tough time, feeling that she's afraid of being condemned by the church, she instead is being invited by the church to let them help her walk through this difficult pregnancy. So is that one way to put it?
Yes, exactly. And we're not asking the church to be the provision of all the needs. There are pregnancy centers who are out there that we refer women to come alongside the church. We want the church to be the discipler, the mentor, the friend, to show the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Also utilizing the pregnancy centers to handle the crisis. Pregnancy centers are there to handle the crisis, but we've heard a lot of directors at the pregnancy center say, where is the church? We can help them for the first couple of years of the baby's life, but then what? We don't have the church to connect them to. So we need the church to be the lifetime discipler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's so, so important. Share with our listeners one more time, if they want to learn more about becoming a house of refuge or more about Love Life, tell them again how they can do that.
A simple way is to just navigate to our website, which is lovelife.org. You will find all kinds of informational videos and testimonials of ways that people have been, their lives have been changed through this. So go to lovelife.org. But if you would like for your pastor to learn more about becoming a House of Refuge church, please email us at alabama@lovelife.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you specifically want to learn about House of Refuge, lovelife.org/refuge will take you directly to that particular part, so you're not having to see all the things. Love Life is pretty comprehensive in the pro-life department. We've got lots of things going on, but lovelife.org/refuge will take you straight to the House of Refuge part.
Okay, okay. And now that statement that we read, how often does the local church read that from the pulpit?
We ask the church to agree to read it at least twice a year. That's the agreement. But we have some churches that read it once a quarter, so that's four times a year, and some churches that will read it more often than that. Mm-hmm. Once it's being read and the conversation is open, some pastors are very eager to bring this topic up and talk about it and create a safe space for the congregation. So as often as they like, but at least two times a year.
Mm, okay. And I guess also placing it would be wise maybe to place it in the bulletin every Sunday as well, right?
That's what I was just going to say. My pastor actually has it posted on the bathroom stalls in both the men and women's bathrooms. Every time you go in there, you're reading it, but also in the bulletin and on the website. Yes.
Mm. Sounds like you have a wise pastor. That's. I think that's a great idea. I really do. In fact, you probably can't make the statement too often, probably. So thank you for sharing that.
Right.
Our time is just about gone. Anything you'd like to share in the last minute and a half or so before we end our time?
Well, I would like to say that nearly 300,000 abortions each year are performed on women aged 19 to 24, which is one-third of all abortions nationally. That is college-age students. We have universities that are required to provide the abortion pills on campus for mothers. And so I just want you to know that as a college student, we want to begin reaching out to college campuses, and we're doing outreach on college campuses to let them know that they can become what we call a campus of refuge. We have the church becoming a house of refuge, but we need groups of college students that are going to say, that know the protocol, that know how to help a mom and dad who are facing unplanned pregnancy in college, how to navigate that. And so we can train them. That's our newest arm of our ministry this year that we're going to be focused on as well in 2024.
Okay. And they can learn more about that on the website as well then, correct?
That would probably be better. Just email us if you have an interest in that, alabama@lovelife.org. It's such a new initiative. You're not going to find that on the national website, but that's something that we're launching here in Alabama in particular.
Okay. All righty. All right. Well, thank you so much again, Shailene and Jennifer, for being with us today. And thank you for the great work you're doing with Love Life. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today, and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a wonderful day to make that step. If you want to commit your life to Christ and be saved today, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us and commit your life to the Lord now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your Word every day, to pray and seek you daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. Shailene and Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us. One more time, would you share that website if someone wants more information about Love Life or House of Refuge?
Yes. Just go to lovelife.org, lovelife.org/refuge,
okay.
Or email at alabama@lovelife.org.
All right. Thanks so much and keep up the great work. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.